we're always tempted to wander off the trail. And what's, again, you look at it and it's so inviting. And in our world, when you wander off the trail of Jesus Christ, people will clap for you to abandon the path of righteousness. Literally in our day, you wander off the trail of the Christian life. People are like, yeah, let's go. Come with me.
Listeners, welcome to Live in the Light today. If you have been with us for a while, we have finally reached the end of the book of James. Hey, Robbie, we've made it. Do you have a highlight in the series so far?
A highlight, man. You're right. We have made it. And I think it's been such an encouragement to go through this again. Love, verse by verse exposition. That's why we're here, Live in the Light. We love God's word and want to see the truth transform your lives. And Shannon, the way that James ends here in the last two verses, you know, originally we might have kind of seen these two verses be lumped in with the previous text on prayer, but I'm so glad we separated them out. A fascinating study on maybe some verses you've never really unpacked before and the challenge it is to our hearts, the reality. Number one, we are prone to wander, okay? Like just like the beloved hymn says, we are prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. That's so true. I feel that on a daily basis. And then though, our role in being used to bring back those who have wandered again away from strong faith or strong affection in Jesus Christ. So again, an amazing text. Love that we're here. I hope it really, really speaks to you. As always, for us here at the Live in the Light team, let us know how God is working in your heart. Send us an email, give us a call, go onto our website, whatever it is, do, let us know. Take the time, would you? Even today, right now, decide. Take the time to let us know how God has been speaking to you through the book of James. It's why we're here. We want to see your life change, that Jesus Christ gets glory. That is such an encouragement to us and to our team. So the final message, here we go, Shannon. Exciting.
It's so exciting. And this one's all about life change and the pursuit of the Lord and how many people we are praying for and actively trying to bring back to a life of following Jesus. So that's what we're here for. That's what we want to hear about. And we are so excited to see today what the Lord has for us in James chapter 5. So let's get into it and open your Bible.
Amen. Amen. Please find your Bible, find your Bible open to James chapter 5. Saying that for the last time in a while. This is, I reached our final message in our series in James. James chapter 5, we'll be looking at the final two verses, verses 19 and 20. If you don't have a Bible, it should be one in front of you. Really encourage you to turn there. James is located near the end of the New Testament. You can look at the table of contents. Someone beside you can help you find you. I must say, I love how James ends this letter. Not what I would necessarily anticipate. It's not traditional closing remarks. In James's letter, often in New Testament letters, there's greetings or a benediction. None of that here in James. Rather, it's yet another call to action. The last thing he says is another call to action. Doesn't surprise us with James. In fact, when it comes to James and his kind of bluntness at times, and just he gets right to the point, we might expect nothing less. You may recall all the way back, we started this series. We said there's 108 verses in the book of James. 108 verses in the book of James, 60 of them are obligations towards action. That's phenomenal, okay? 108 verses, 60 of those verses are obligations towards specific action in our lives as genuine followers of Christ. James is all about, don't be just a hearer, be a doer, right? If your faith is real, let's see it lived from your life. You can't just hear it, you got to live it. That's been a massive theme in the book of James. So we come to the last two verses and some things don't change. The more I studied this, the more I loved his final exhortation. This becomes a critical call for action. I will admit too, I've never really looked at this level of detail. The last two verses in James, a lot of other verses kind of get your attention. It's been such a joy to sit in it, to study it. And I'm excited to share that with you now. And I pray you will also be excited and encouraged by it too. It's the beloved hymn, A Come Thou Fount, that has that very powerful line that says, and you should know it, it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. That line often sits with us, again, in a powerful way, because we all relate to the temptation of wandering away from the intimacy of our God. So the line says again, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. We are prone to wander. Why? It's this intense spiritual battle of sin within us. There's this battle raging of our sinful nature that has been allowed to remain for now, and this battle with sinful tendencies and godliness and the Holy Spirit within us. It's a battle every day. If we are alive in Christ, we should be very aware of. We would feel it. We sense the temptation towards evil and flesh, and then the battle and the longing of the Holy Spirit in us towards godliness and what is good and pure and what is light. This is the battle that rages within us on a daily basis. I mean, it's all over Scripture in many ways. Peter calls it, we're waging war against the passions within us. Paul in Romans 8:13, he summarizes it this way too. He says, for if you live, listen carefully, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. The end result of the sinful nature within us is death. When we pursue the world and when we build up sin in our lives, it moves us towards death and ruin. He says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Holy Spirit, you put to death by the Spirit, the deeds of the body, you will live. So this indication of the war that's raging within us to draw near to God, but the sinful flesh and Satan's temptations again coming at us, to draw us away from God towards evil and towards, again, fleshly desires. Again, if you're alive in Christ, this is your battle every day. This is my battle every day. It is real. It is sincere. It is serious. And it's happening right now, like literally happening right now as we even talk about it. It certainly is in my life. So James is intimately aware of this battle of the flesh and the Spirit of God that's within us. He's very aware of the temptation then for people to wander away from the joy of God's salvation, to wander away from affection, strong affection for Christ, to wander away from the health of the church of Jesus Christ, to become lukewarm in our affections for the things that matter most, and especially of Jesus. So then he ends this letter with this theme. Like, that's what's amazing to me. This is the theme he concludes this letter with. His heart for those who have wandered and his heart to bring those back who have wandered, who are truly saved in Jesus Christ. That's how he ends this letter. We are prone to wander and to bring back those who have wandered. So it's a very pertinent, very prevalent, very powerful theme. And one, maybe that's not addressed this specifically or explicitly in God's word in this way. So it's really exciting to be able to go through it. So take a look at James 5, verse 19. I pray your interest is piqued. James 5, 19, he says this, my brothers and sisters, if anyone among you, among the fold of God, in the church of Christ, wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever, second time, brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Again, fascinating way to end this letter. I love it. I hope you will too. Notice James's intimacy with the church. He says, my brothers, he's used this term of endearment several times, my brothers and sisters, throughout this letter. He loves the church and he wants to care for them. He's like, my brothers, intimately, I reach out to you. I need to say this to you again as I finish this letter. What I love about James too, if you notice this all the way along, James is not afraid to bring intensity. He's not afraid to challenge. He's not afraid to get up in the grill of everyone he's writing to. But he does it because he urgently loves them. And because he cares for them so much, he tells them the truth rooted in love, challenges them to change rooted in love, intensifies his proclamation in the sense rooted in care and love and burden for their well-being in Jesus Christ. Now, we need both. We need truth. We need truth, again, drenched in love. We need the courage to say what people need to hear. And we need the love and grace that accompanies it because we care so much about them that they might be healthy in the Lord Jesus Christ. So just one of those is not an option. We need both. James has been such a great example for us in this regard all throughout this letter. And he ends this letter on this note too. I love that. My brothers and sisters, he says, and then he's going to speak to them truth again, drenched in love. So this is where we start on our theme today. Number one is this: for all of us, let's be careful. We are prone to wander. Let's be careful, church. We are prone to wander. Verse 19, my brothers, if anyone among you, notice, wanders from the truth. James is anticipating the battle for the heart in the authentic Christian life. He's anticipating, listen, the battle of our affections, the battle for our direction, the battle for our intentions, the battle for our wills, the battle for our minds. James knows every day we're in a tug of war of worldliness and godliness. Isn't that so true? Like every day we live, you're alive in Jesus Christ. You are aware of the tug of war between worldliness on one side and godliness on the other. And some days we feel like we're winning. Some days we feel like we're losing. It's the battle that is occurring. Every day, the advertisements calling for our all-out affection. Every day, we're bombarded with such advertisements from our world. Every day, the so-called friends that are demanding our loyalty above Jesus Christ. Every day, the culture insisting upon our capitulation, insisting with the religion of our day that we must bow the knee to culture and capitulate to the secular age. Every day, the media seeking to own our minds and therefore rule our lives. Every day that occurs, every hour, every minute that occurs. Sources of media seeking to own our minds because then they can rule our lives. We must be so careful, man. We are prone to wander. Careful, little eyes, what you see. I mean, it's just, we must be so careful. We are so prone to wander. James knows this. He says in verse 19, anyone among you who wanders from, notice, the truth. Wanders from the truth. Now, this isn't just doctrinal truth, and it is massively important, but it's also the very behavior of the Christian life. When you wander from the truth of godliness, wander from the truth of Christ, wander from the truth of behaving as we should, rooted in the truth of God's word, wander from the truth of relying on the filling of the Holy Spirit, wandering from the truth of community in Christ. All of that applies here. Be careful for those who are wandering again from the truth. The word wander in its kind of root form, it conveys the idea of being led astray or being deceived. I want you to pause on that for a second. That's just, what is at the root of sin? At the root of sin and the very strategy of Satan is to lead us away from Christ, right? Think about that. Sin is anti-Christ. So the very root of sin is to lead us away from Christ. The more we sin, the more we quench God's spirit. And the very strategy of Satan in our temptation is that we might sin and be deceived from the truth of God's word and the life that is found in Jesus Christ. This is what it's trying to do. This is what he's trying to do in our lives, that we would be led away and deceived in what is false to create distance between us and God. That's why we got to see sin for what it is. We got to see Satan for who he is. Like, think of the first sin that entered into this world in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve, right, were led astray and deceived by Satan, and they wandered away from God. They wandered away specifically from the truth of God. And all hell broke loose after that. This is why Satan is called the father of lies in John 8. Jesus calls him the father of lies. Just always remember, okay, every word from Satan's mouth is a lie. There's not like 99% bad with Satan and 1% good. It's 100% evil. There's not one intention in his, again, will and heart and his intentions that is good. There's nothing in it. It's all evil, 100%. He hates you, wants to destroy you. Everything he sends to you is about your destruction and absolute death. Everything. He's the father of lies. He cannot speak without lying. He's the father of lies, as Jesus said, and he's also called the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2. He has been temporarily allowed to have some kind of authority in the world that we live. And as the prince of the power of the air, his entire goal is to build a system of the world that leads people into disobedience. Also Ephesians 2, okay? So Satan sets up a world and he tries to get as many people as possible to follow in his deception, his ways, away from Christ, that he wants to multiply and create as much disobedience towards God as possible. That is everything he's trying to do. So he set up a society of mass temptation, mass deception, mass distraction, and mass delusion. All of that appealing to the sinful flesh. And again, the rejection of God himself. We must be careful. We must be careful. We are prone to wander. And we can easily argue right now, we could easily argue that we've, as far as our nation, Canada, in the history of our nation, not talking about the whole world or the history of the world, but in our nation, Canada, we can easily argue we've never been more deluded as a nation. Because the more we reject God and the more that we invite the systems of the secular age rooted under the prince of the power of the air, the more that we will find ourselves surrounded by utter deception and delusion. And by the way, the Bible promises that this is going to happen. We shouldn't be surprised by this. It doesn't mean we're happy about it, but it's not that we weren't warned. It's what do we do about it? It's how we learn to live. It's what we seek to have, you know, an offensive strategy of prayer and dependence on the Lord. Well, one of the things is we must be careful. We're prone to wander. We must be aware of the situations we find ourselves in. We must be so clear of all the things that are coming against us. So on this, you know, must be careful. We are prone to wander. Recently, like in my personal Bible readings, one of the places I've been in is the Pentateuch, specifically in Deuteronomy. And as I've been reading through Deuteronomy, and specifically, let's say chapters from 4 to 10, I just was struck at the wanderings of God's people. It's just Moses is recalling the history of Israel, and it's just incredible how much they wandered away from the God who brought them out of Egypt and saved them from slavery. Over and over. If you know your Bible at all, you should know exactly what I was talking about. But I was kind of intrigued by this and the reality of the message we're in this weekend in James's final exhortation. And I was just so aware of the battle for the heart, the temptation of the flesh. So I made a list, just personally made a list from Deuteronomy 4 to 10 of all the ways that God's people were tempted to wander away from him, or all the ways they did wander away from God in the battle of the heart. This is a bit of an extensive list. I just wrote down all the things I could see in God's word. So on the screen for you, we are prone to wander. And this is an example of Deuteronomy. God's people wandered away in fear. They wandered away in disbelief. They wandered away in discouragement. They wandered away from God in their stubbornness, in their complaining, in their murmuring, in their loss of perspective, in their selfishness. They wandered from God because of self-indulgence, in their idolatry. Their fear of man caused them to wander away, of their lack of fear of God. They wandered in their vanity. Their vanity caused them to move away from the things of God. Their complacency, their refusal to listen to the word of God, their discontentment made separation, their forgetfulness of what God had done, their deaf ears, their ingratitude, their corruption of heart, their arrogance of spirit, their self-obsession, their hard-heartedness, their laziness, their lack of self-discipline, their gluttony caused them to wander away from the things of God, their love for entertainment, their conflict and ease, their worldliness created, again, a wandering, their capitulation to culture, their belief in their own self-sufficiency, their self-righteousness made them wander. And lastly, I just wrote down their all-out rebellion against God obviously made them wander from the Lord. This is just a list I personally came up with, a few chapters in God's word. It could be way, 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 way more. I thought that was very intriguing. All the ways on a daily basis that we can wander away from the truth. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Last week, I had the privilege of going to Alberta for a couple of days. I went to Red Deer, Alberta first to visit our sister church, Redemption Red Deer. Pastor Chris Gervin is there. The church is 3 years old. Man, God's doing a great work there. On Monday night, we had a night of renewal. I spoke at that and just a gathering of a bunch of people there and some other churches. It was a blessing to see how God's moving in there. And then on Wednesday, I was able to go to Calgary for a conference with Daniel Henderson and 6-4 Fellowship. And I was there and we were there Tuesday night and into Thursday morning. Real blessing to be there. So for Monday night and then Tuesday night, we had a little bit of time and we decided we wanted to hike a mountain on Tuesday morning, okay? Now, this isn't a mountain in Ontario. This is a mountain in Alberta, and it was a mountain. It was intense, and it was grueling, and it was classified as hard, and I agree. It was hard. It was 2 hours of straight vertical. There was like seemingly no rest, and man, it was such an exercise of perseverance, and my heart rate was just so high the entire time. But you get to the top, and it was a blessing. Here's a couple pictures I want you to show you from this time. So here's us at the top. Yeah, it's pretty spectacular. So that's like straight down, you know, several hundred meters right there. And that's Pastor Chris Gervin. So he's like a hikeaholic. And like, he loves this stuff. He's so giddy. He's like, gotta do it. Next time, bro, we're going golfing. All right. So he loves this, but I'm so glad you get up there. Like, this is so amazing. Let's show the other picture here too. So this is Dave Meisner. He's an elder at Red Deer. He used to go to our church for several years. His wife, Lori, that's me dying right there. Okay. So yeah, I'm just like, wow, long way down as well. But it's amazing. You're climbing this thing. It was really hard. It was really good. And I was like, man, this is such a metaphor for the Christian life. Like it really, really is. Cause like, there are many times you're just like, take the next step again, heart rate up. You're just exhausted. There's longing for a flat space anywhere. You know what I'm saying? But it didn't exist. And there you are. And you're going, at one point it hailed on us. You know what I mean? It was raining, just the weather, sun came out, it was craziness. Anyways, we're there and you're just like, man, persevere. And it truly was, you wanted to give up, but you keep going. But what I noticed as you're going up this trail again, 2 hours long to get to the top, many, many signs along the way, stay on the trail, like warning signs, stay on the trail. Why? Because if you go off the trail, man, you're in big danger to go off the trail. We hear the stories all the time of people who have gone off the trail, so to speak, have become lost. Some have died. Some have severely injured themselves. Some has taken days and days to rescue them and bring them back to safety and to civilization. I mean, the signs are there for a reason. It is in your best interest to stay on the trail. It is a hard trail. It is a difficult path, but it is the one that will carry you to the destination that you are seeking to go. Staying on the trail is massive. Do not wander. Danger physically if you don't stay in the trail. And then the point of that is there's a tremendous danger to our spiritual souls if we do not stay on the path that God has for us and wander off. The thing about when you're on the trail and difficulty, you look your left and right at times and you're like, man, that looks so much easier to go that way. That looks like so much better to go that way. This looks like this will be ease and comfort and just, can we just get done this already? That's so much of life sometimes too, isn't it? That's what our world does all the time. The Christian life is tough. Climbing the hill's hard, man. Just like, there's just moments and moments. You just gotta keep perseverance. What a massive theme. Just felt that so much physically and then all the applications of it spiritually as well. We're always tempted to wander off the trail. And what's, again, you look at it and it's so inviting. And in our world, when you wander off the trail of Jesus Christ, people will clap for you to abandon the path of righteousness. Literally in our day, you wander off the trail of the Christian life. People are like, yeah, let's go. Come with me. They will affirm you. They will cheer you to reject Christ. Our world right now, more anti-Christ you are, they're like, yeah, let's go. You're with us. Let's woo. All right, let's go. It's fun over here, man. Let's just ride this wave. Easy. Everyone loves you. It's so, everyone's doing it. Come on. Let's do it together. And it's tempting. Maybe some of you are here right now today and you were very prone to wander. And maybe you have wandered. Maybe you're on the verge of wandering. Here's what you have to know, the wisdom of God's word, though. You have to know that what you will find as you wander, the Bible promises us, is misery. You will find despair. You will find delusion. And ultimately, if you do not come back, you will find destruction. You will find ultimate destruction of life and soul because we are wandering away from the one who is life. We are wandering away from the one who is peace and joy and hope and love. There is no alternative to Jesus Christ other than death. We must stay on the trail. We must be so careful because we are so prone to wander. For some of us right now, this is a wisdom moment for you. The Holy Spirit is calling you. The phone is ringing. You must answer. And he says, bro, I'm not sure if he says that, man, but whatever. He's like, child, you must stay on the trail. Come back. Your wandering is going to kill you. Return now to where the Lord would have you. Stop being so foolish. You know how this is going to end. And it will not be fun. And so many people get hurt in the process. We must be careful. We are so prone to wander, is what James wants to say in the beginning. And number two, let's be clear. Let's be careful. Let's be clear now. We must bring back the wanderer. We must bring back the wanderer. So if you look at verse 19 again, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death, wow, and will cover a multitude of sins. So this phrase bring back here is very dear to the heart of James. He says it twice in these two verses. What does this tell us? It tells us this, okay? The reality, listen, this is Carol, this is important. The reality of believers wandering away. Believers is the context here. We'll get to more of that in just a second. And then the urgency of bringing them back to Jesus Christ, back through repentance and restoration to Jesus Christ. So the vast majority of commentators agree here that sinner here is referring to the believer who has strayed again. If anyone among you, among the church, among the fold of God, anyone among you has wandered, let them know whoever brings them back, okay? And we know this too, right? Anyone who is genuinely saved in Jesus Christ will return. Anyone who's truly alive in Jesus Christ, you can have a bad season. You can wander. In the end, you must return if you are truly a child of God. Conversely, though, we know from the parable of the soils that Jesus taught, the parable of the soils, there will be those who seem to respond positively to the gospel in the soil with the weeds, and they respond with joy initially. Oh, that person looks like they're legit, but give it time, give it temptation, give it the pleasure of the world, give it hardship, and they wander away. They never return. They were never real in the first place. That's what Jesus is teaching us. They were never truly legit. Even the outward signs that seem to say they were, time is the great factor. But then back here, though, those who are truly in Christ, they will wander, they will return. They must return at some point in some way. God, Lord willing, is even doing that today, right now, through this message of calling back those who are wandering back to himself. And the Holy Spirit, he says, yes, 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 let us run back to Jesus. So these verses here is not so much about redemption, but about revival. It's not so much about evangelism, but it's about restoration. Restoration of God's children to himself. Another word here for wandering could be backsliding. This is a great temptation in all our lives, isn't it?
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day, we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's Word to strengthen His people and His church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna-